Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. We visited this well-known account of the birth of our Savior this morning, and we revisit this tonight and focus on the response of the shepherds and their visit by angels and their visit to the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 2, let's read at this time the first 20 verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Thus far we read this beautiful account of the birth of our Savior, wonderful angelic visit, and those shepherds. I want to consider with you tonight the gospel of the shepherds and revealed in and through the reaction of the shepherds to the angelic message and chorus, and also to consider with you the gospel that is for us today and which is to be our response today. And I'm going to visit with you verses 15 through 18 and verse 20. Let me repeat them. Children, you follow closely, at least in your hearts, as we hear what the Lord would say, and then the preaching of this word. And it came to pass, verse 15, as the angels were gone away from them unto the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As is often the case, beloved, we are not told in Scripture everything we might want to know. And I'm referring to the details of the shepherds. We don't know everything we might want to know about those shepherds who were watching their flock by night and were visited by an angel, and then they were heralded by this hallelujah chorus from heaven. You don't know where they were from, most likely Jews who were shepherding, and this was a noble occupation in Jewry at that time, but very common, hard-working men keeping watch over their flock by night, not falling asleep. Perhaps their flocks were flocks from which people would get sacrifices. We don't know. Or perhaps the flocks that were raised were for mere utility and food and clothing and so on. Again, we don't know. There were simple shepherds, and these visited by an angel and designed by the Lord, determined by the Lord to be this group, this congregation of shepherds who would be the first ones to see the babe lying in the manger and the first heralds of the good news to men. Amazing that the Lord would appoint these shepherds so, and for our example, as this is the Word of God, which is for us today. It is striking that they're of no account, and that we read that they didn't have any connections anywhere which might have furthered the gospel. It's striking that we don't read that any of them were scribes and Pharisees and theologians, and perhaps I suppose if they were sophisticated theologians, they never would have gotten to Bethlehem. They would have heard the message of the angels and maybe debated what this all meant and never gotten anywhere in their sophistication. And maybe they weren't, and certainly they weren't liberal theologians who would have discounted the whole visit of the angels, especially that chorus, as mere hallucination. Be that as it may, they weren't of the sophisticated sort. I would say that we ought to hear tonight this, that they were definitely mere believers. And I'm going to go with that because this is certainly true, but I want to emphasize that these shepherds were mere believers, and their behavior at this time is for our example, this noble example, how we ought to behave in reaction to the message of the angel and angels, the message of the gospel that we hear preached tonight. May it be this sermon for our merely believing. And that will be for our peace and joy as well. So let's go with the shepherds to Bethlehem in the quiet of this evening hour, away from the hoopla, away from the malls, in this assembly, not of shepherds, but of mere believers, and all of us being called merely to believe what God says to us tonight. And so we want to hear this message. That's the first point. Then we want to hear from God their going to Bethlehem. There's great significance in their going to Bethlehem and how they went. Finally, there's also gospel in this, beloved, that those shepherds, after they were in Bethlehem, they returned and they did certain things that indicate that they were truly believing and lovingly believing and very effective of the Lord for the furtherance of the gospel of Bethlehem. Well, beloved, as we saw this morning, great things were happening that night the Savior was born. And the announcement of the angel of the Lord to the shepherds was simply overwhelming to those shepherds who were fearing when they first saw this angel because of the glory of the Lord that was shining round about them. And as we saw this morning, these angels were, and this angel of the Lord, and then the chorus of angels, are these special spirit beings who inhabit heaven, and they know God perfectly because they're not with sin. They know Him as angels can know God, and they're God's servants. And as they come to these shepherds, and as they come to us today in the Word, they are showing themselves to be those ministering spirits appointed for the heirs of salvation to help us into the salvation of God. That's the gospel, according to Hebrews, of angels, true angelology. Angels are ministering spirits for the heirs of salvation. And so here we see this for shepherds. And the glory of the Lord shines round about them. Now, we didn't get into all of these concepts this morning, but just think about this. This is what is going to be propels these shepherds to Bethlehem, this glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is simply a shining radiance. We say the glory of the sun is when it shows itself in all its power and light and magnificence and life-giving power and also death-giving power. Well, the glory of God is what God shows of himself and all his significance, his godness. And the angels are having this glory because they've just come from heaven. And if you came from heaven, you'd have something of that glory with you too. Because to be in the presence of God, there's something, well, I can say this reverently, rubs off. There's these virtues of God that you behold in heaven. And when people see you and you've been there and these angels, they behold God in you and through you. So think of it. The shepherds there were visited by this angel of the Lord and then this hallelujah chorus. And there was the rightness of God that they came next to on that night, face to face. There was the mercy of God. There was the holiness of God that was shining in the face of this angel and then from the words of these angels who had been with God. You see, there's deep theology here. True theology, deep theology, the glory of God is going to make the impression upon these shepherds, these first heralds of the truth. And so the greatness of God, see, that's the problem today. Nobody sees God as having any weight. That's another Hebrew word for glory, weight, weightiness. Remember Isaiah when he received the call in Isaiah 6 to go and to preach to Judah. He was impressed by the glory of God, the weightiness of God, the significance of this God who's judge and who's holy and who is the one who saves and condemns and who has determined all things before the foundation of the world. Well, today, who takes God seriously? What theologians take God and his word seriously? Well, when the angel came and then the angels sang to the shepherds, they wanted God to be taken seriously for once, even in Judah. We should have always taken God seriously, bowed before his holiness. So they had that the glory of God there. Then you had the gospel truth. The gospel truth of what we call Christmas. The angel of the Lord came upon these shepherds. Really, it doesn't sound fair, does it? He came upon them, tackled them, arrested them in their ordinary life. Be that as it may, then the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. That angel said, "Fear not." That's not the reaction here that you want to have. Because, and you are to behold this, behold, pay attention, I bring you, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, beloved, and he goes on to say what this good tidings is, the birth in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. But just think of that. The shepherds there visited, and we don't know if they were theologians. They certainly weren't sophisticated theologians like we Reformed can be. But they were those who somehow were linked up now by this angel visiting them and speaking to them this message, linked up with the truth of all prophecy. All that had ever been spoken, it all amounted to this. The law and the prophets pointing ahead to Jesus the Christ who would be born. As we saw this morning from the perspective of Isaiah 9, this son was prophesied to be given and this child to be given whose name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Here it is. Here it is. I wish that I could preach a sermon so poignant, so loaded, and say amen, as long as we'd have the same response as those shepherds. As long as it would be the same message, first of all, and then working the same response among all who heard, we would really and merely and truly believe. But look at this. Fear not, because I'm speaking to you not of a sail, not of someone coming from the North Pole, not of the great giddiness you might have at this season, but I'm speaking to you of something that's really good tidings, really for your great joy of soul, your abiding joy in season and out of season. I'm speaking to you of that which you need to hear, born in the city of David like God had said He would be, the Savior from sins. He's called the Christ, the Anointed One, Old Testament, Mashiach, Messiah, who's also the Lord. So this one born, Savior and Lord, called the Christ. And now He's 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, give or take. Born. Wonderful God with us. Wonderful God in human flesh. And emphasis here on the hiding of His glory. This is the significance of this other word of the angel who said, "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." Ever wonder about that, beloved? It's a sermon all by itself. Just a few points. I don't believe that the angel here is saying to the shepherds, "When you go to Bethlehem, because I'm predicting it ahead of time, that you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, that's going to confirm what I say to you. It's going to confirm that everything I say to you is true, just because you're going to find Him just this way." I believe there's more than that. I believe, in fact, that the angel is pointing here to the significance of Christ's humiliation. Here is signified the glory of God that comes in the form of a man who has no glory in himself. There's something here which is the stumbling block of the ages, but which is for believers this wonderful thing that's come to pass that tells us that God is so coming into our existence and stepping down, as it were, from the throne to be our substitute, that salvation is sure. Why? Because for there to be salvation, there has to be someone who takes human's place on the cross of God's cursing for sin. And it can't be any other way, or God would not be just. God has said the soul that sins must die. Jesus will be the dyer in our place without being the sinner. He will take on sin, be made sin for us, the apostle says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But this is the gospel here and the signification of that sign, not just something that is, but a sign of a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes that we wouldn't desire an ordinary babe. And besides, He's there in the manger because there's no room for Him in the inn or in any man's heart, to be sure. Well, and then we have that multitude with the angel, the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know what, beloved? I surmise at one point in my exegesis that perhaps this multitude of the heavenly host was not only angelic, but maybe there were God's elect in heaven joining in the choir. You ever think of that? We often just think it's the angels harking. And I thought that would be something. Certainly it will be in the future that we will be singing with the angels. But then then I came to my senses and saw that the angels themselves were involved in this singing or in this declaration, because in verse 15 it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go now into Bethlehem. So that eliminates any of the elect of God being with the angels, it would seem to me. Certainly, though, this is a wonderful, wonderful declaration of the truth of what's going on here and of the proper and only response there can be to these good tidings of great joy that are given among men. The only proper response, glory to God. Note, the glory of the Lord was shining around this revelation of the significance and shining radiance of the perfection and radiance of God was there. And now the angels themselves are saying, this is how it ought to be. And everyone ought to acknowledge that God is great in the highest, in the utmost extreme way, all the praise ought to be His. And then, in a marvelous gospel way, there will be peace, and God with sinners reconciled, and goodwill toward men, or we could translate, there will be this goodwill among men of God's good pleasure. Simply the word of the gospel that God will save sinners. And to all men, this is great joy, good tidings of great joy to all people. Toward men, now of course, not to everyone, head for head, can't be. Not if there's a hell. If there's a hell, there is. That's the other side, as it were, of the counsel of God. That's the terrible decree that God damns those who reject Him and sovereignly decrees these things. But that means, beloved, Christmas is not all about good news for all people head for head. We see that today. Many reject this message of the good news, and they come harder and harder, even though they promote man more and more. God's out of the picture. God's not happy with that. Now, beloved, this is good news for God's people of every stripe. That's what the shepherds are told here. This good news of the glory of God and the glad tidings. And now the response. Came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go, let's now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I want to say, first of all, beloved, that you find here no command of the angels to go. No command. You must go. I find that striking. It's true, the angel had said to them, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, and that's going to be a sign to you. But he didn't say, now you go there, you must go there, and so on. I think there's something, beloved, more compelling even to the shepherds. It's this, the love of God. The love of God. There were nothing else these shepherds show themselves to be loved of God, to love God. They were lovers of God. And we know that the love of God shed abroad in anyone's heart compels them to serve God and to go and see Jesus. I love in you, beloved. Not commandments, not pontifications from ministers and policies from elders compel people. But the love of God compels people like no other force can. And so there's no command. But there is this lovely compunction, this thing that's pressed upon them from above and from within, and this glory of God
in them, the glory of His love, the wonder of His love in them now saying, go, you must go. And them saying to one another, let's go, of course. It's a thing to do. So they go. Another thing leading them, it's called faith. Faith. They believe. And note, they're not going to Bethlehem to find out if it's true and then to believe. Like Thomas, remember, after a while in Christ's ministry, even he wouldn't believe until he'd seen. These, they believe. Look, let's now go on to Bethlehem, they say, and see this thing which might have come to pass. No. Which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Know that. They rise from angels, and even a whole host of them, to being convinced that it's God speaking through these angels. And it's true. Something. No speculators here. No sophisticated theologians who wonder and they scratch their chins and they smoke their cigars and in the cloudy rooms they come up with conclusions but never go to Jesus. These shepherds are loved to love and faithed, given faith to believe. They're mere believers. They're mere believers. They take God at His word. Something. They take and then they go. Of course. Let us go and no, not halfway. Let's go. And then they go. They go. And with haste. And got to say this too, beloved, because you're probably wondering, what about the sheep? You ever? Maybe you're not. Now you should be. What about those sheep? They left their sheep. They were watching the sheep by night. Wouldn't the wolves get them? Or the thieves and the robbers? Well, we're not told. Again, another thing. We're not told. We might like to know what happened to those sheep. Maybe they got sheep sitters for a dollar an hour or whatever. Maybe they left some of them, but it doesn't say that. All these shepherds seem to have gone together. Maybe they just trusted in God to take care of the sheep for now. See, it's amazing. They were going to the shepherd. Themselves were now acting as the sheep. And they were going to the one whom they knew, if he were the Christ and the Son of God, and the one prophesied is the good shepherd, and that all was well with their sheep because of this shepherd. Well, be that as it may, we don't know exactly what they knew, but there was faith here and trusting. And God took care of the sheep. You can be sure. And they were sure. They weren't worried about it. So they went and they left all the business with God. There was something far more important for them at this time. And they made haste. They came with haste. Speedily is the word. They didn't go and stop and you know, stop at the store. And they didn't even stop and shave, men. They didn't stop and take a shower and all these things and present themselves presentably to this one who was born, the King of the Jews. And no, they just came as they were. It says something, beloved, too, about this also. They didn't stop at the gift store and get a gift. They weren't like the wise men who got the frankincense and the gold and the myrrh and so on and all of these splendid gifts. They just came as they were, and they had nothing to give. And as we said this morning, the one thing really they would give to this Savior, because they were struck by the glory, they heard the message, was this. And that is wonder. Here's the gift of the shepherds. Here's the gift that they give. Their wonder, their adoration. They're marveling at this thing that had come to pass and this one, this babe, and the sign of him being born in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, the King of the Jews, the Lord of salvation, the Christ of God, the forgiver of sins. They wonder. They wonder. as they wandered out under the sky. The Savior would be born for ordinary folk like you and like I. They wondered. And they offer that. Something like the psalmist would give and said, God accepts. I give a broken spirit. I give a contrite heart. They wondered at all this. Now, again, we don't know all the details of their knowledge, but you see, principally, when faith joins you to God through this Savior, so that we trust in God and His Savior, there is this principal knowledge of every principal thing you need to know as a believer. So you know forgiveness somehow, if only intuitively. You know all is well. You know God is God. You know you are not. You know your mission. You know God's mission. You know that the principal thing is worship of God. So that's what the shepherds believed and compelled them to go. Now, practical application here, beloved. If they went, we should go. If those shepherds went, and if God has written this account of the shepherds going, we should go with them. Very, very important. If we are believers of God and believers of His Word, this Word we believe is written not simply for some information of ours that we log away in our craniums and which is not of any practical use to us whatsoever, except maybe to discuss and debate finer points of theology. No, beloved, this glory revealed to them is glory that is now revealed to us in the Scriptures, so that we also may be compelled by the love of Christ and the faith in Christ to go to Christ. That's it. That's it. And we should be admonished by the Scriptures if this is not the reaction of us to the Christmas message, that we go to Bethlehem, that we go and make haste and leave all. And don't think we have to shave or dress up, but come as we are, sinners to the foot of the babe even. Then there's something wrong with our Christianity. If we even think going to Bethlehem is, you know, first going to church, or first getting baptized, or first anything. And you could fill in whatever religious thing. Instead of going to the Jesus of Bethlehem, we've got a problem. See, we're talking here, the Bible is revealing to us here something called mere believing. Merely believing. Understand that? Merely believing is merely responding to the Word of God and going to Jesus. Hasting to go to Jesus of Bethlehem, to the Jesus whose glory is veiled. And that's not a stumbling block to us. We're going to go anyway and worship and offer our wonder. Children, you see that? That's not what you see in the in all the stores, in all the glitz of Hollywood Christianity, American Hollywood Christianity. But it is the Bethlehem of the Bible. This is why we preach the Word here. We need to know this over and over again, don't we? The first response of those who hear the message of glory and who are impressed by the sense of the glory of God Himself is to go to Jesus by faith. All haste, not stopping anywhere, and bringing nothing, beloved, first of all, except your wonder and your adoration and your praise at the God of wonder. You see, remember, the concern of us here is that we have this relationship with God through the mediator on a first name basis. What's His first name? Wonderful.
That means we're friends of Him, but it also means we're worshipers of Him. Because wonderful, that first name Jesus has a twofold effect. You know Him, but you're in awe of Him. That's the mystery of God with us. We know Him, we love Him, we approach Him, but we're in awe of Him. It's the way it should be, don't you think? The way it should be. It's called true religion. God is God. God is really glorious. And yet He comes to be with us, and we go to Him, and we can be with Him, and we can know His friendship, and we can know, even in the midst of the most serious and devastating things that happen to us, we can know that He's near, and He will hug us, and we can embrace Him. But at the same time, there is this worship that befits those who would be true Christians and merely believers. And truly believers. So we come. Now, where's Bethlehem located? That's something that's important for us to remember. Before I go on to a third point here. Right there, they were told there was born in the city of David, and they knew that to be Bethlehem, the Savior, so they went there. And what about for us? Does that mean we make a pilgrimage to Bethlehem? Of course not, beloved. But it does mean we go to the Scriptures where Jesus is revealed as the Son of God who's born in human flesh in Bethlehem. But there's more, beloved, because we have more information than the shepherds do. In order to go to Jesus properly and to offer the offerings of our wonder and our faith, it's necessary to remember everything about Jesus, not just that He's born a little cuddly babe, 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 3 ounces. What about the Jesus of the cross? What about the Jesus of the empty tomb? What about the Jesus who all His life suffered for us? What about the Jesus of Gethsemane? What about the Jesus of the epistles, the same Jesus of the Gospels, by the way? The Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament. You see, we have this book here that reveals to us all kinds of wonderful things about this babe. And so we go to the babe we go to Bethlehem by going to all that Bethlehem means. And we go through the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel according to John and through Romans and through Revelation and through Genesis. We go by faith, understanding that God is revealed in His Son, the God of Bethlehem, in all this wonderful book, the Word of God. We go, and then we go together. Let us go even to Bethlehem, the shepherds said. And I find that striking. This wasn't a one-man show, and this church ought not to be a one-man show. Minister, you go to Bethlehem. We're going to stay home. Watch television. Let us go. That first congregation said to one another, and they all went. How about us? When one of us says, in light of the Word of God, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's stop bickering. Let's stop doing these things that are just earthly. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to the cross together. Let's go and find our solace at the water of life. Let's go and hear God speak to us. Let's go and fellowship and celebrate together. That's the spirit of Christmas, of Christ. The church goes to Bethlehem. Or none of us go. We all go together. We go. And it's not, well, you can go that way, and I'll go that way to get to Bethlehem. You go that way, that theology, and I'll go through this theology. No, we go straight to Bethlehem by a sound theology and a rightly dividing of the Scripture and the same faith. That's what the Bible says, is one faith, and one God, and one Father, and one Holy Spirit. One baptism, we go, and we return. Oh, it's amazing. Again, 93 sermons could be preached on one or two of these verses. I leave you with this. These shepherds, having been compelled by love and the glory of God to go to Bethlehem, and then having gone with haste and finding Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger, when they had seen it, verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Stop there, verses 17 and 18. See what happened? These believers, these mere believers, became mere witnesses of the gospel. Those had seen with their eyes, but especially by their merely believing. Those who knew that this message was for them, the Savior was for them, were compelled now to speak and to witness in their lives of the glory of the Lord who shone around them and who was revealed in the person of this Son, this babe. God, infinite God, 20 inches long, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, the perfect Savior. Wonder. Great the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. We've seen Him, they said. And note, beloved, they so wondered. And they offered their wondering to oblation of thanks to the Savior, that when others had heard this, they wondered. Verse 18, all that heard what those simple shepherds said were so affected, they wondered. Something caught. And something catches now in application to us, beloved, today. When we ourselves have really been to Bethlehem, really been to the cross, really know what Christmas is all about, and we go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere, people know that person, something's happened to him and her and them. Something's affected that family. And so that even if other people don't believe it, they know you do. They know you do. And that you're real. These wanderers, in a good sense, not speculative, but believing wanderers, made for wondering among all kinds of people to whom they spoke. Now that's power, beloved. There's also power in this last thing that they did. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. There's something here, beloved, that's so important for us and for young converts. It's this. Though we be converted to God, maybe for the first time, some of us here very recently, maybe even under the preaching of the sermon tonight, though you be converted and convicted and gone to Bethlehem by faith, you are now called, beloved, not necessarily to go to seminary and be a preacher, but you are called to return to where you were, glorifying and praising God. It may not be that you'll be a seminarian or be called to go to Ghana on the mission field, but it certainly will be that you return and abide in the calling wherewith you're called as a Christian. So that everything now will be sacred to you, and whether you're called to mop the floor, dig the ditch, be the postmaster, be the businessman, drive the truck, doesn't matter. You've been to Bethlehem. Heaven's come down to you, and you've gone up to heaven in the seeing of the babe. And you glorify and you praise the Lord with the angels. You start singing, hallelujah. The Lord our God reigns, and all those wonderful songs of Christmas. So they made known abroad the saying, they returned to their job, which was a calling, which was a Christmas calling, and is for us as well. The sermon, beloved, is all. This one today is for mere believing. Real believing.
unadorned maybe, but real and powerful. Believe the word. Rejoice, Christ the Lord, born this day. Go tell it on mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ the Savior is coming again. Amen. Father in heaven, we are so glad. How can we express our gladness? You visited us in the fullness of the time. Us, poor sinners who sat in darkness, have seen a marvelous and great light. And you visit us in the giving of your Spirit and causing us to be born again in this, our 21st century. You visit us in the preaching of the gospel as we open the scriptures together. You compel us to go once again to Bethlehem and to behold these things that have come to pass. And then we go out and we're empowered to witness. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful purpose and calling in life to be your witnesses. Give glory to your name, beloved Father, our great God and Savior. As we go forth, forgiven sinners, blessed and covered by the blood of the Lamb, in whose name we pray. Amen. <clears throat> 341 is our final hymn for the night. O come, all ye faithful. There, all ye mere believers. O come, all ye faithful. Three stanzas.